Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA. We'll check in with the Minnesota National Guard's 347th Regional Support Group from Kuwait, and we'll hear from the Command Sergeant Major. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, approximately 24 people per minute are victims of rape, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner in the United States. Since 1981, October has been recognized as National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Domestic violence is a pattern of behaviors used by one partner to maintain power and control over another partner in an intimate relationship. Anyone of any race, age, sexual orientation, religion, gender, or social economic background can be a victim or perpetrator. Domestic violence varies from relationship to relationship and can happen in any form of physical, emotional, sexual, reproductive, financial, or digital abuse. If you or a loved one are experiencing any form of abuse, the National Domestic Violence Hotline will help victims find a path to safety. Visit www.thehotline.org or call 1-800-799-7233.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Today, we're going to meet with the director, the medical director of the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and his name is Dr. Gregory Matlock. Doctor, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Sir, I think it's been about a year since you've been on the show, but I just wanted to review, before you moved up to Minneapolis, you spent quite a bit of time at the VA Medical Center down in Iowa.
Yeah, well, immediately before I came up here, I was embedded in the regional office in Des Moines, and so I served both Iowa City and Central Iowa, Des Moines Medical Centers.
And before that, you practiced medicine, did you not?
Yes. I worked in the community for many years.
And was there a specific field of practice, sir?
Family practice is what I'm board certified in, yeah.
So you got to see all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Which I'll bet you get to see this, all kinds of things at the VA Medical Center as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different population. There's not much pediatrics that goes on there. So.
No, sir. Now, I understand in the last year you got promoted.
Yeah, additional duties. So I'm medical director of the Minneapolis VA, but also now medical director for compensation and pension for the VISN. And the VISN, as you know, is we're VISN 23, and it's a group of 8 medical centers that come under one guidance. So
it's 8 medical centers within a region?
Yeah, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota.
Sir, we try to stay away from some of the acronyms because some of our civilians, our listeners, don't quite get all of those terms that we use in our daily life.
VISN is Veterans Integrated Service Network.
Very good, sir. We'll see if we can explain what you do in English, even though we all have our ways of speaking at the office, don't we?
Yeah.
So the Compensation and Pension Clinic, can you tell me what is your mission? What is it that you try to accomplish each day?
We do examinations, physical examinations, for conditions that the VBA has asked us to do.
And VBA stands for?
That's Veterans Benefit Administration. So you have VHA, Veterans Health Administration, who I work for. There's a third one, and that's cemeteries, but we don't deal with them.
Well, we won't talk about those today. We'll do that on another show. So if we've got a veteran who thinks they had some type of a medical issue related to their time in service,
yes,
then they can go to their county veteran service officer, file a claim, might go to the veteran service organizations to help them document the claim. That gets sent in, and then at some point in that process, you're asked to examine the veteran. Is that how that works?
Correct. Any of the VSOs, CVSOs, any of the organizations can help that. The most important thing to do first is to file what's called an intent to file. That will preserve your date. So if you do our service connected, you'll be paid back to that date. So that's the most important thing. It's nothing to that. All you have to do is say, I intend to file a claim. And you have up to a year then to actually file the claim and give evidence. And so that goes to the VBA, the regional office, and they do some work to verify things like you were a veteran, for example. They verify times of service, theaters of service. So that's important. Do you have verified RVN service? Do you have verified West Asia service? They verify those things. And then they determine what your claim was, and they ask us to examine based on that.
So, for instance, for my buddies that were Vietnam veterans, it's important to look at your discharge certificate and have it show that you were on the ground in country during that time. And that's a big factor, because then there's a at least you know that you may have been exposed to things like Agent Orange.
Right. Though it should be on the DD-214. But early in the years of Vietnam, the Marines were not real good at keeping that record. And so what will happen is the veteran says, no, I was there. I did these things. I went to these places. And the regional office employees will go through the record and see if they can verify that. And I have, when I was in the regional office, I helped them do that from time to time. And I can tell you that in one case that I remember, we were only able to identify that the veteran was in Vietnam because we found one notation that he'd been treated at an aid station that was in Vietnam. That was the only record that he was there. So we'll dig hard and we'll find it out.
We're speaking with Dr. Greg Matlock from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center Compensation and Pension Clinic on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, as you said, if someone served, for instance, in Vietnam and it didn't get on their DD-214, if you can find orders that sent them there, if you can find any kind of documentation that puts them there, and like you said, you know, if you were treated at an aid clinic in Da Nang,
yeah,
chances are pretty good you were there.
Yes, the VBA employees and we'll help them sometimes also dig pretty deeply and we'll go back to the paper records and
sometimes
and
pretty hard to find records of things that happened 40 years ago, but you never know, there might be something out there.
You know, I've opened up a C file from World War II veterans and opened up an envelope and dirt from Germany fell out of it. So
and that worked.
We weren't looking to verify, but we were looking at records, so the stuff's around.
Well, if you want to find it, and if it's there and you look hard enough, you can find it.
We'll find it.
Now, can you share with us, what are some of the most common types of claim conditions?
Well, by far probably it's hearing loss and tinnitus seems to be a large one, but you've got to remember a lot of these veterans look like you and me.
They're not young anymore, is what you're trying to say.
No.
We're experienced.
Yes,
there.
And so hearing loss is a big deal. And so that is a question we're asked often, is my hearing loss due to acoustic trauma that I suffered while on active duty? And there's ways for the audiologist to figure that out. So that's a big one. The other big one is, or big ones, would be Agent Orange presumptive conditions.
And, of course, they've approved that for most of our service members that were on the ground in Vietnam. They've also approved it for the Brown Water Navy. And there's some legislation pending in Congress for the Blue Water Navy who think they are suffering from those side effects as well.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about blue water. And so there's not a lot of science on it, so that's really a congressional decision to make. A lot of those guys that were at Yankee Station, as we're talking about Blue Water, they have an additional exposure. And most of them were on those big ships were exposed to asbestos.
Which is a whole nother problem.
Whole nother problem, but we see them an awful lot, yeah.
So what I'm hearing is the theater, wherever you were, whether it's Vietnam, Korea, around the burn pits for today's service members, there are certain things that have a maybe a high occurrence?
Yes, the burn pit and the Southwest Asia environmental hazards have no presumptive conditions like the Agent Orange does. There are a couple of conditions that we have identified that are connected with burn pits and Southwest Asia environmental hazards, but there are no presumptives.
So just like it took the Vietnam veterans decades to come up with evidence that the incidence was way higher than normal, and for Congress to act on that, it may take a while for the burn pits to mature as well.
Well, it's going to be a little bit easier, I think, than it was with the Vietnam veterans, because they didn't recognize this sort of immediately. And so you may have heard about something called the Agent Orange Registry.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The Agent Orange Registry is just something that they can follow epidemiologically to see if there's a higher occurrence of something. They didn't start that Agent Orange one for a while after the war was over. But we already have a burn pit and Gulf War registry, which is being followed the same way.
We're following it quicker and faster and developing your data.
We have three centers in the United States that's their job. And they're staffed with epidemiologists, and they're watching it closely. And the depleted uranium, and there's a lot of things.
A lot of different things.
Yeah.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Dr. Greg Matlock from the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Dr. Greg Matlock from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center's Compensation and Pension Clinic. And, Doctor, we've been talking about how to file some claims and the type of claims that you file. And one of the things we touched on was hearing loss. And I just need to ask you a question because it occurs to me, you know, guys our age or older, life probably takes a toll on their hearing. Can you distinguish between hearing loss from their time in service and hearing loss that's maybe just age-related?
Yes.
How do you do that?
You take a look at the audiograms that were done on entrance and the audiogram done at discharge. And if there's certain criteria for threshold frequency loss, and if there's a frequency loss during that time that meets the criteria, then you had a hearing loss in service.
And what if there was no audiogram at the time of discharge?
It gets a little trickier. But then we take a look at certain other factors, like if you have a combat infantryman badge or a Purple Heart or something like that, then we know that you were around loud noises.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about more of that, but we'll get into that off the air, sir. Those are interesting problems, and I imagine every time they come up, you almost have to play King Solomon and try look at the record, see what you can find. What was your job when you were in the service, and is there a reason to expect that something may have happened?
Exactly, and our audiologists are the ones that typically do that.
And they've done enough of it, I think they're probably pretty good at it?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
This is good. Sir, I want to get back to the compensation and pension process, and we talked about if a veteran thinks they had some type of a disability or an injury while they're in the service, they file a claim with their county veteran service officer, they document the claim, they put it in, they get an exam from you, and then after that, do you make some kind of a determination whether or not they had an issue related to their service?
We don't make a determination. That's done by the VBA Veterans Benefits. We do an examination, report the pertinent things, and then they determine whether or not it's service-connected or not. They will sometimes ask us for an opinion, and we'll take a look at the record and decide if there's a connection. We call it a nexus. So if you tore your meniscus, hurt your knee in service, 40 years later, you have arthritis in that knee. Was there a connection? Well, yes, there was, because you tore your meniscus, and so you damage the articular surface of the joint, which can cause arthritis. So that's how we make the connection.
So that could have been a contributing factor.
Yep. Yes.
And then they still have to make a determination whether or not they're going to award some type of compensation for it.
They will then take our examination, and they have a schedule of the residuals of that. So they'll look at range of motion, painful motion, instability, those kinds of things, and that's where your percentages come from.
Now, doctor, if a veteran's come in and he's had your exam and they're going back and forth and trying to figure out if it's service related, if they have some new documents, how do they deal with that? How do they submit them?
They can give it to their service organization or their CVSO. They can also submit those documents at the public access at the Whipple building, and those will then be scanned into the system and then go into a database. Used to be called a C file. Now it's called VBMS. It's an electronic version of that, and those will be available to us to look at.
So the burden's on the veteran to work with whoever's helping him process the claim to get those documents in and get them in the file.
I wouldn't call it a burden. I would suggest that they do that.
Burden of proof, in other words, is what I'm
saying. No, it's not about proof. It's just the documentation. You can ask the VBA to go out and get those documents, and they will. It will take a lot longer. So I suggest that if you have these records, that you get them into the system so that we can take a look at them.
So it will help speed things up.
Yes. You don't have to do it. The VBA will go out and get those documents, but it'll make things faster.
We're speaking with Dr. Greg Matlock from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center's Compensation and Pension Clinic on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, do you see mostly current veterans, Iraq, Afghanistan veterans, or do you also see World War II, Korea, Vietnam veterans?
Sure. We see those, and they're delightful, I have to tell you. You know, talking to a World War II vet is like talking to your grandpa. And they're absolutely delightful. Not so many anymore.
No.
But probably the largest group are Vietnam veterans. They look like you and me. And that's because when you get close to 70, you have, you know, medical things that come up. The younger veterans, not so much. If they have had an injury or something, we see them for that, and then we don't see them as much, just like, you know, out in the city.
Well, doctor, being a Vietnam veteran, I must add that when I came back from Vietnam and had one contact, I think, with the Minneapolis VA, I wasn't real impressed with it, and I had other things to do, go to college, get married, go to work, do those other things. But then later on in life, I had some things affecting me, and I said, whew, and then contacted the VA. Things have changed much for the better, I think, and part of that was maybe just how our generation of veterans were treated at the time when we came back from Vietnam.
They didn't have much experience in that. Though, I'll have to say, they did it much better than the World War II guys, and they did it a whole lot better than the Civil War guys. So,
very good, sir.
So we can get better, and I hope that we do, and we strive to do that. But you're right. I was in at the same time that you were, and they said to me, when I got discharged, you know, is there anything wrong with you? Because if there is, we'll send you over here for about the next 3 months, and we'll figure it out. If not, you can go home today.
And we wanted to go home.
Yes, we did. And
so we did.
When we look at those records, we understand that that happened. So we know on your discharge physical, something might not be on there that maybe should have been.
Simply because you were in a hurry to get home and get there.
Yes.
Doctor, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about the Compensation and Pension Clinic? I don't think it's anything veterans should fear in any way.
No. The Secretary's goal is customer service, and we've done quite a few things to make that better. We haven't been so good at that in the past, but we're focused on more customer service, customer-friendly types of things, and so I think they'll find it a pleasant experience.
Well, doctor, it's been an honor to have you here again today, and hope to have you on the show again in the future, and please keep taking good care of our veterans.
Well, I'll come back anytime. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sir. That was Dr. Greg Matlock from the Compensation and Pension Clinic at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Please stay with us. When we come back, we've got a special guest that's going to co-host the second half of the show, and we're going to talk to some of our troops in Kuwait. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet my special co-host for the second half of the show, and we're going to talk to a soldier in Kuwait. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Culture Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
America's veterans are some of our nation's bravest, hardest-working men and women. However, it's hard to show them the appreciation they deserve. Back home and out of uniform, they are more camouflaged than ever. Greenlight a Vet is a campaign to establish visible national support for our veterans by changing one light to green. Green is the color of hope, renewal, and well-being. Consider changing one light to green in a visible location on your porch, in your home, or at your office, and keep it glowing every day as a symbol of appreciation and support to our veterans. Then, share your support by taking a picture of your green light and posting it on Twitter using the hashtag GreenLightAVet.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We have a special co-host for the second half of the show today, and he is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, good to have you back in the studio.
Well, hello there, Tom. It's great to be here and wonderful to be back in the studio with you as well.
Sergeant Major, I know you accommodated us on a last-minute scheduling change today because we've got a special guest today that wasn't really on the plan. And all the way from Kuwait, we have Captain Melanie Nelson, who is the Public Affairs Officer of the Area Support Group Kuwait, part of the 347th Regional Support Group of the Minnesota National Guard. Captain Nelson, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Sergeant Major.
Hello, Captain Nelson. Great to hear your voice.
It's great to hear your voice. It's like I'm right there in Minnesota with you, but it's a little drier, a little hotter, and a little sandier over here, Sergeant Major.
Well, just real quick, I woke up this morning with snow on my deck, so how does that make you feel?
I saw the pictures on Facebook. That's remarkable.
Captain Nelson, can you share with us how long have you been there in the desert?
Yes. Tom, we got here at the very end of March, so we've got a full 7 months in, and there's T-shirts that they sell at the exchange, the PX on camp here, and they say endless summer. And I tell you what, I know you had summer back there in Minnesota, but we have had the longest summer, and we have a couple of more months left of summer over here.
And what's the countdown? How much time do you have left before you come home?
Well, it's still two solid months left in country, and then we go through the out processing to get home. So we still have a bit of time, Tom.
Well, it's getting shorter and shorter every day. I remember that from Vietnam. I had a short-termers calendar, and we'd cross off a date every day. So I know where you're at. Melanie, you're over there with the Minnesota National Guard's 347th Regional Support Group. Can you tell us what your mission is and how many soldiers are with you?
Yeah, Tom, it's really interesting. So I'm really happy that I'm the Brigade Public Affairs Officer for the 347th Regional Support Group. There's 10 companies total in the brigade, and there's a handful of companies who have soldiers over here right now. I'm with the headquarters company, and there's 39 of us that deployed in March, and we really have a unique mission. All of us were chosen. They like to tell us they were chosen. We were chosen because we were special. But we have unique skill sets, and we provide support to this thing called Area Support Group Kuwait, which supports all of the service members from all of the components that move in and out of Kuwait on their way to other areas within the Middle East, and a lot that kind of stay right here. We have three camps that we support, and we're divided. Our team from Minnesota is divided up in staff responsibilities at those camps.
So
I do public affairs. The lawyers do the lawyer stuff. It's a whole group of us with odd specialties.
So, ma'am, the soldiers are there with you now. Are you in support of active duty Army at this time?
Kind of a lot of everything, Tom. In this Area Support Group Kuwait that we work for, it's a lot of active duty soldiers, reservists, National Guard, and us and other state National Guards that all work together, and we have dazed civilians and a lot of contractors as well. And so all of us together, we support all branches of service.
So Sergeant Major...
The Army is a lot, but there's all branches of service here.
Sergeant Major, today's Army, when they're deployed, it's active duty, Guard, and Reserve, and they all work together.
Yeah, they sure do, and that's the great thing about the organization that we're in. It is one team and one fight.
And everybody's treated on an equal basis these days.
Yes, they are. Absolutely, 100%. You know, I do have a question for Captain Nelson. So you said that you've been there now for 7 months, and, you know, we got a couple of months left, but I would assume that, you know, our soldiers are being taken care of, and I'm hoping that you guys have gotten everything that you've needed, but we're coming up on the holidays, and I'm just wondering if there's some things that you're looking for, you'd like to have maybe sent to you, if any of our listening audience would like to be able to do that.
You know, Sergeant Major, that is such an interesting question. And first, I can't even say anything but to say how supported we've been. The Yellow Ribbon Network, a couple of them, but holy smokes, that Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network is just out of this world. Blue Star Mothers, a network from Duluth, and we've had companies and school children send us stuff. I just love it when they take the time to get our names, too, and write notes that say, I have notes that say Captain Nelson or Melanie that from people I don't even know. It's very sweet. What do we need before the holidays? I hope that we will be on our way out the door really close to that time frame. So I would say nothing because I don't want to have to pack extra things in my bag. But there's still a lot of troops here. And just knowing that someone cares is honestly more important than the items that we get, if that makes sense, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, it sure does. And I remember some of those same packages, and I love getting those cards from those little kids because they're just so darn cute and touching.
They are. Even the ones that are just, we just got some this week. They were color drawings of all these soldiers with flags, and then they wrote their little, you know, second grade thank yous on them. It's just really refreshing, and it reminds us why we're here. Because sometimes we need that reminder of the important mission, because our daily missions maybe don't seem that dang important. But from the bigger picture, it's really important that we have troops here to support the defense cooperation agreement that we have with the country of Kuwait.
Command Sergeant Major and I are speaking with Captain Melanie Nelson all the way from Kuwait on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain Nelson, you've been there for 7 months, and I'm sure you're well aware that there's more Red Bulls that are training down in Texas, and they'll be coming over to Kuwait soon. You're gonna see that deployment from an angle that most people don't. How does it feel knowing that you've got 650 or so Minnesota National Guard soldiers coming to join you?
Well, let me tell you, you know me, Tom. I'm media savvy, right? So I've been over here watching all of the ceremonies of their big send-off and people's Facebook feeds. And I'll let you in on a little secret. The Army doesn't move all in one fell swoop. They trickle people in and out all over the place so they can keep people on their toes and get people stationed in places before others get there. And so I can tell you, I've already had dinner with a couple of Red Bulls over here. And it was really fun to see that patch in the dining facility, let me tell you.
Kind of like getting reinforcements over the next couple of months that you're still going to be there.
It's really nice. And, you know, but not even the Red Bulls. I tell you what, today, I mean, the Red Bulls, there's, you know, it's going to be a ton. But today I was in the dining facility in Zone 1. Our camp here at Camp Arifjan is pretty dang big. It's broken up into six zones. But sitting there is our aviation unit. They're stationed at another camp here in Kuwait, but they came down here for a mission, and there they all were at a table. And so I got to say hi to Major Burr in Kuwait unexpectedly. So it's so much fun seeing people that we know when you're stuck in an environment that is not normal.
Sergeant Major, you've got soldiers and airmen all over the world, and sounds like quite a few of them are over in the vicinity of Captain Nelson.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, people probably don't even realize that, but even right now we've got near 1,000 soldiers or airmen deployed from Minnesota, of course, all over the world, like you know. So, yeah, it is interesting. And I would like to just know, Captain Nelson, I watched that feed of the people leaving, the torch party, we call them. I'm just wondering if they had the same smiles on their face when you saw them as they did as they were jumping on a plane to head overseas.
You know, I tell you what, they all think it's really hot, and it was only 107 today. That's not hot at all.
Only 107.
Nice.
Captain Nelson, hold that thought. We have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the conditions over there. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Our co-host in the studio for these two segments is Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham from the Minnesota National Guard. And we've been talking to Captain Melanie Nelson, who is the Public Affairs Officer for the Area Support Group Kuwait. And she's over there with the 347th Regional Support Group. And Captain, when we finished that last segment, you were telling us that it was 107 degrees. Probably a dust storm over there in the desert. We've been over there for the show a couple of times. I want to ask you about, can you tell us a little more about the conditions? What are the range of temperatures? And does it really feel cool at night when it gets down to about 75 or 80?
Well, I'll tell you when we get there, Tom. No, it's the conditions are different than what we're used to from Minnesota, but you know, there we had a general visit recently, and he asked one of the troops in the group that he was talking to, and he said, "Why are you here?" And the kid gave kind of a lame answer, you know, about daily stuff. And the general looked at him, and he said, "You're here to preserve peace, promote prosperity, and to protect America." So even though the conditions sometimes are a little annoying when the sand blows in your eyes, in your mouth, we're really doing an important thing here, promoting security and stability in the Middle East. Believe it or not, us Minnesotans can get that job done.
There is a bigger picture, and I hope that soldier said, "Sir, yes, sir," and got back to work.
Yes.
Melanie, one of the things I noticed the last time I was in Kuwait was that at nighttime, you can turn on enough lights that it almost looks like daylight. A lot of your troops try to do their jobs, like the mechanics and those people, at night so that they can be out of the real heat of the day.
You know, that is so true. And just like back at home, the sun, of course, it's we have shorter days now, just like they do back home. On my way to the dining facility tonight, there were bright lights up and mechanics working, just like you say, Tom, on equipment as I walked by. And it is cooling down a bit now, but operations here are 24/7. Thankfully, I don't have to work the overnight shift, but we're always out there working hard. But our soldiers are really taken care of too, Tom.
And I also noticed that they do some 5Ks, and they're working out at night. And how are our soldiers? Are they in good shape?
Really good shape. One thing about deployments, and I'm sure Sergeant Major can chime in on this, there's nothing to do except for work and work out. And I shouldn't say that. I mean, I shouldn't say, I guess, like that, because there are opportunities. The USO and the Morale Welfare, MWR, what is that, Sergeant Major? Morale, Welfare, and Recreation. They have some wonderful events. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, the Globetrotters are going to be here visiting us on a USO tour. So there is other things to do, but working out is a big thing that our soldiers do. And I can tell you what, our group that I deployed with, I think we're a bit leaner and fitter, and I think we can lift a little more than we did before we left.
Well, there definitely is not an excuse not to put in time at the gym while you're on the deployment. And I know that when I came back, I was probably in the best shape I'd been in a long time.
And we've been following you on Facebook, Captain Nelson, and you look like you're in really good shape, too.
Oh, well, thank you. They also have this thing called, you know, formation runs and stuff where you don't get the 5K T-shirt. They do have a lot of those. But, it's a lot of organized PT, too.
On the other side of that, there's coffee shops there. And how's the chow?
You know, I really like the chow. Here at Camp Arif John, of course, there's different camps. Some of our, the rest of our headquarters company from 347th is at Camp Buring. They don't quite have it as nice. because we have three dining facilities, and one of them even has silverware and plates, which is
very good.
And I walk extra far to get to that one every day for lunch and evening meals. But they have a wonderful salad bar, and they do the very best job that they can. But I can tell you, tonight's Thursday. Every single Thursday, well, for me, it's evening. Every Thursday, they have pasta. Every Monday, they have Mongolian or stir fry.
Sergeant Major, she does like the food.
Tacos. Yes, she does. I can tell.
Sergeant Major, can you give us an update on how are Red Bull soldiers doing down in Texas? Melanie tells us there's some of them already on the way to Kuwait.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just spoke with the division command sergeant major this morning, Sergeant Major Jelmstad, and he told me that their SRP, which is their soldier readiness processing, is going well. That's almost complete now. And, of course, all of the marks, measurable marks, they're hitting in high fashion. And just for a quick update also, their culminating training exercise is in progress right now. That'll be completing soon, and what that means is they will then be 100% validated and ready to move forward to take over Task Force Spartan in support of Operation Spartan Shield. So they're ready and willing, anxious to get to Kuwait and get this thing moving on.
Very good, sir. And as you know, and our listeners should know by now, we'll be following our Red Bull soldiers over in Kuwait because we sent over Sergeant Ben with some equipment, and they'll be calling in every 4 weeks for a Red Bull update. So it should be fun to follow them all winter and see how they're doing. Sergeant Major, I know you wanted to talk about another thing. Are you breaking ground on a new facility?
Yeah, it's great. This is something we've been working on for quite a while, and there's going to be a private groundbreaking ceremony over in Arden Hills, which will be the location of the new headquarters for the 34th Infantry Red Bull Division. And the nice thing is this is a $40 million federally funded, about 136,000 square foot facility. And we're expecting to have that facility completed in the spring of 2021. And then, of course, that'll be the new headquarters for our Red Bulls, so they'll move from Rosemount out to Arden Hills. So really excited to have that facility finally breaking ground, and we'll be doing that small ceremony on the 15th of October.
Sergeant Major, you got a lot going on, and the soldiers and airmen traveling all over the world.
Yeah, we sure do. And like I mentioned before, we've got about 1,000 that are currently deployed out of Minnesota, both out of the air and the Army. And you know what? We're excited. We're proud to be members of this great National Guard and citizen soldiers and airmen inside of Minnesota.
Captain Nelson, thanks for staying on duty and calling in all the way from Kuwait to give us an update on the 347th Regional Support Group.
Thanks, Tom. It was so great to hear your voices.
We're looking forward to having you home in a couple of months, and drink a lot of water out there, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And Sergeant Major, we just got about 30 seconds left. It's amazing what technology can do, and I'm really looking forward to staying in touch with the Red Bulls every 4 weeks with Sergeant Ben out there with that Comrex equipment.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Technology is wonderful. And I would just like to go back to Captain Nelson and say, stay safe, take care of your troops, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Captain. Thanks, Sergeant Major. We have one mention today. Coming up on November 17th, the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network is going to need all hands on deck for an old-fashioned huge packing event at the Hugo City Hall, as they pack and ship to the 650 soldiers that are deployed with the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. They have some items they need. If you're able to help, drop them off at City Hall, some coffee, power bars, nuts, beef jerky, cookies, licorice, wash wipes, power drink mix, fruit snacks, those type of things. Once again, that's going to be on November 17th. Get a hold of Chuck Haas and the Hugo Yellow Ribbon Network. If you can help, we need all the help we can get. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Greg Matlock from the Minneapolis VA, Captain Melanie Nelson, all the way from Camp Arif John in Kuwait, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Sheltrow of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Hastings Veterans Home, and we'll be joined by Secretary of State Steve Simons to talk about absentee voting for our troops. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.